What is this fellowship or communion with the Holy Spirit? We have had many messages on it. We have dug deeply into it. But I believe that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has given me something more to share. And I trust that He will anoint me to do so. But a simple way to put what's the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's a two-way communication or a partnership with the Holy Spirit. I remember that one of the early scriptures that I memorized, you know, when I was just born again, was from Romans 8 verse 14. And I really never understood it. I'm not even going to profess that I fully understand it now. But it says, Romans 8 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or daughters of God." And the meaning behind the Greek word for that word led, many are led, many are led. If you were to look at the meaning and plug it back into the scripture, it would read like this: "For as many as are led," open with, "past time, brought, driven, kept, carried by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God." And the title for this message this morning is in the form of a question. Do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And I could ask another question. How can we claim to be children of God, sons and daughters of the true and living God, if we are not led by His Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Father, we just bless Your name. We praise Your name. We exalt Your holy name. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Lord, we pray, O God, that You will just anoint my lips, anoint our ears, anoint our hearts. Lord, we pray that Your kingdom will come and that Your will be done. Lord, I pray that the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified in this message. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray that it will not return to Your void, but that it will be that double-edged sword piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, that it will be, it will discern the intents of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that this word, Lord God, will bear and bring forth much fruit, O God. Let Your kingdom come and Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about the word because I believe God gave me this word. But I'm also a little fearful about this word because I believe that God gave me this word. Praise God. Hallelujah. But do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? In the Old Testament, there are some records or documentation by God of the Holy Spirit coming upon persons. And I just chose two to illustrate this coming up on of persons by the Holy Spirit in a partnership. And it's in the life of David when he was being anointed king, and also in the life of Moses. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 13, it says, "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil," and that's Samuel the prophet, "and took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." So we see here where the Holy Spirit came upon David, and that's in the Old Testament. In Numbers 11 verse 16 to 17, verse 16, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, gather before me 70 men who are recognized as leaders, elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you. I will come down and talk to you there." You know, God is in the habit of coming down to talk to people. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, "I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the Spirit that is upon you, and I will put the Spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone." Praise God. It says, "I will take the Spirit that is upon you." It's not the Spirit of Moses. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon Moses. And God recognized that he needed help. And he said, the same spirit that is upon you, I'm going to put it, some of it, on those elders and leaders to help you. So these are two examples in the Old Testament of God placing his Holy Spirit on a few persons for a specific and divine purpose. Of course, there are also scriptures in the Old Testament where persons lost out on the presence of the Holy Spirit. One example is in 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. So the Holy Spirit that was upon Saul to lead as king at that time, it had left him. God was displeased because Saul had disobeyed God. In Judges 16, verse 20, we read about Samson. And Samson was the last judge of the Israelites before kings were being appointed to lead Israel. And in verse 20 of Judges 16, Delilah cried out to Samson. She said, then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and just shake myself free. Because Samson had an anointing of the Holy Spirit to be the strongest man ever. And he would be tied up. He would do all. They would try and bound him. And he would just, as he said, shake himself free. And all of the bonds that they would tie him up with would just break away. And at this point, he had already displeased God so many times. And he did not know that something had happened. And he thought to himself, I will do as before and just shake myself free. But he didn't realize that the Lord had left him. The Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament is the same Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But unlike in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit came upon a few persons, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ has given us this wonderful and privileged opportunity, not just to have the Holy Spirit come upon us for a purpose or for a given time, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a privilege to every born again believer. Every believer, every Christian can enjoy this communion, this partnership, this fellowship that Paul speaks about in 2 Corinthians. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Do you know it is not God's desire to leave you alone? No. It is not his desire that you do life on your own. You know what I'm saying? Do life. We are the road. The life. No, it's not his intention that we are to be alone or to be left alone on our own. It was never his intention for you to exist and live without him. He created you and me, and he wants to be a part of our lives. He breathed into Adam, and Adam became the first living human being. You know, at school, we just finished teaching about classification of living things. And we saw that living things could be divided into two broad categories. And sometimes I'm hesitant in identifying human beings as part of the animal kingdom. I mean, I hate that part of it because to me, we are in a category all by ourselves. You know why? Because if God did not breathe into Adam, there would be no living persons, only animals, plants, and microorganisms. How do we know this? It says so in the Word of God. Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. You don't see that about the cats and the dogs and the giraffes and whatever other animals were created. I don't know how we are classified as part of the animal kingdom. You see, from that passage, we see that only man has the breath of God in him to be a living person. It is God's breath that keeps us alive. And he wants to have fellowship with the person that he has made. He wants to have fellowship with men and women, boys and girls, teenagers, everybody. Because we have been made in his own image. How do we know that God wants to be with us? Again, let's turn to the Word of God. Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9. And we are trying to answer the question, how do we know that God wants to be with us? When the verse 8 of Genesis 3, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. And you know, the thought came to me, how, and I've heard it being explored by other speakers, how did Adam and Eve know that that was God walking in the garden? How did they know that God was coming? There are other beasts and other animals, and from the history, we know that there were even larger creatures than what we have walking on earth now. You know, so some of them must have been sounding thunderous when they walked. Now, how did they know that that which they heard, you know, it's gotta come. You know, when I was in first form at my high school, the principal was affectionately called Charlie. His name was Scott. I think it was Charles Scott, Dr. Scott. That was the first time I was even hearing of someone with the accreditation of DR, doctor, and it wasn't a medical doctor, Dr. Scott. But he was affectionately called Charlie. And when we were in high school, he drove the fear of God into people. That if you heard that he was on your block, there would be a ripple through the classroom. Charlie, I come. And every child would find themselves seated and just stiff and don't breathe because you didn't want Charlie to call on you. Charlie was coming. But this here, it says that Adam and Eve, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. How did they know that those steps or what they heard was God? You know why they knew it was God? They heard those steps before. They know what it was when God would be walking around in the garden differently from any other creatures. They were familiar sounds. They knew it was God because guess what? It was his thing. It was his thing to do. He would come and he would fellowship with Adam and with Eve. It's the same today. God wants to spend time with you. It's kind of his thing. You know, the young people like to talk about, is that a thing? Yes, it's his thing. His thing. He wants to spend time with us. And guess what? He wants us to spend time with him. Have you spent enough time to know God's voice? To know his presence? To know that he's with you? That particular verse from Genesis 3 verse 8, Adam and Eve knew that God was coming. But when we read in verse 9, they weren't too eager to meet with God that day. They weren't too eager to have fellowship with God. It says in verse 9, or the end of verse 8, they heard that God was walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. And then the Lord God in verse 9, then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" You see, he expected to find them at a particular place. He expected to find them on a Sunday morning in worship service. Sorry, I had to go there. He expected to find them on Zoom prayer and Bible study. He expected to find them somewhere because he was having fellowship with them. And it was regular. It was so out of place for them not to be in that position where he would have found them. And he said, "Wait, Adam, where are you guys? Where are you?" And you know, God went on to ask three more questions after that. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree that I said you shouldn't have?" And the final question he asked, "What have you done?" Do you think that God didn't know what went down that day? Do you think God didn't know what took place between Adam and Eve and the serpent? God was not on a fact-finding mission. God knows everything. Those questions were not to get information for God. He wasn't seeking information when he asked those questions. They were really soul-searching questions for Adam and Eve. And what they did next was important. Would they continue to try and cover up, or would they fess up? God is speaking to some persons here today, whether in-house or online. You're still trying to cover up, trying to hide from God. But God, in his mercy, in his grace, in his desire for fellowship, in his wisdom, in his love, is still reaching out. He's still desirous of having fellowship with you. And he's still asking those questions. Where are you? Who told you? What have you done? And those questions could be asked by a mentor. You know, it could be asked by the pastor. It could be asked by a confidant, a friend of yours. You know, sometimes we don't want people coming to a business. You know, it's up in my face. But those questions are pertinent. Those questions will reach deep down and rescue from things that you are involved in that's not pleasing to God. Those questions are for us to ask ourselves today. Where are you in your walk with God? Who told you anything different from what God has told you? Did you go against the word of God? What have you done? What have you achieved outside of his blessing or outside of his will for you? God sees and knows everything. You're hiding because you fear his judgment. But through his son Jesus Christ, God already paid the price for our sins, for your sins. Jesus did it all on Calvary. He died and rose from the dead and conquered death, hell, and the grave so that you and I can have fellowship with God the Father through his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He did this to restore us to that original plan of what occurred in the Garden of Eden. That original relationship with God, our Father. He's waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to return to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is a God of redemption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil, as he tricked Adam and Eve, don't let the devil keep you separated from God. God is a God of redemption. He's redemptive in his power. He's redemptive in his grace. He's redemptive in his love. All that God does is to redeem us. Hallelujah. And he's calling. He's calling you. Don't watch what happened in the past. He's calling you now. He wants to restore you now. He wants to redeem you now. He wants to set things right with you again now. Now is the time. Hallelujah. And if you hear his voice, if you hear and feel his tugging, do not resist. Do not resist. The Lord is calling you back to himself. Hallelujah. Well, what does the New Testament have to say about the Holy Spirit? We looked on the Old Testament. We know that it's the same Holy Spirit. The same person of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. In St. John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17, Jesus prayed and he was telling some last minute instruction, but he was just giving some words to his disciples. And he said in verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Some version says comforter or intercessor, who will never leave you. Jesus made that promise. He made that promise. He will never leave us nor forsake us because he has sent his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And as I said before, that gift of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. It wasn't just one or two. It's not just certain people. It's not just, part of the pastors or the elders. It's for every believer. He says in verse 17, he, the advocate, the comforter, the intercessor, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him. Because the world isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. And you know, as I was rereading that this morning, the Holy Spirit just dropped something in my heart. And I'm just going to share it. When it says that the world cannot receive him, the Holy Spirit, because the world isn't looking for him. The world cannot recognize him. I want to put a plug here. Believers, Christians, do not be unequally yoked. Your potential non-Christian wife or non-Christian husband-to-be is not looking for Jesus. Yeah, hello? Sorry? He's not looking for Jesus. She's not looking for Jesus. They're not interested in having a relationship with Jesus Christ or with the Holy Spirit because they're not looking for him. They don't recognize the Holy Spirit. And Jesus went on to say at the end of verse 17, but you know him. You know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Hallelujah. As prophesied by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2, and which came to pass in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, God did just that. He poured out his Holy Spirit upon the frightened, saddened, desperate bunch of disciples. You ever thought about it? That the disciples, that they made the decision that even though they no longer had Jesus Christ one-on-one, for 3.5 years they enjoyed his fellowship. For 3.5 years they enjoyed his companionship. And Jesus was no more. He left them. And he said, you know, I'm not going to leave you alone, though. I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, an advocate, the intercessor. I'm going to send him. And you know what? Even though they weren't sure what all of that meant, we have 2020 hindsight now because we have the Word of God. But they didn't know. But you know what? They obeyed. They obeyed. They obeyed his last instruction to them. They went to Jerusalem and they waited. They waited and they waited. And I want to say, wait on God. Don't be too quick to make your own decisions. You wait on God. You wait on God. You wait on God. You wait on God. God speaks to his people. You wait until you hear what God has to say to you. There is no record of the disciples when they met in the upper room, reminiscing on the past in a bad way. There's no record in the disciples when they met in the upper room about them talking about the good old days and who used to walk with them and what used to happen. No. All we have to follow as a pattern of what they did when they met is in Acts chapter 1 verse 14. And it says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. It was on one of those days, hallelujah, that in obedience to Jesus, in going to Jerusalem and waiting, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They obeyed Jesus. And that act of obedience, even though they were scared, even though they were lonely, even though they had lost out on their friend Jesus not walking with them, even though they were faced persecution, even though all of that and more, they obeyed Jesus Christ. And in that act of obedience, the church was birthed. Hallelujah. Suddenly, unexpectedly, but undeniably, because the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them just as it was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. How about you? Are you looking to the past and trying to relive an experience with the Lord that you once had? Are you looking at the past and saying, boy, we used to do this and we used to do that? Are you looking at the past to determine fully and to interpret what's happening now? Praise God. Hallelujah. Or are you positioning yourself through obedience to his word, waiting in expectation of the renewing work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can you grasp the new thing God wants to do in your life now through obedience to him? Can you grasp what God is doing? Well, I guess we all can ask, what is God doing in this COVID pandemic? What is God doing? That certainly is a question that has been on many, many persons' mouths. We can't afford to live in the past. The latest expression is we're in a new norm. But can I tell you? That pouring out of the Holy Spirit, that's supposed to be the norm. That's supposed to be the norm. That's supposed to be our norm. Sometimes we reason ourselves out of what God tells us to do. And the truth is, he never tells us anything to cause us harm. I've shared this testimony some years ago. It occurred. And you know, I was just reminded of it again as I read that about God never tells us anything that will cause us harm. So donkey years ago, when I was doing postgraduate study and I lived on postgraduate hall at the university. I think the church had just started playing badminton on a Friday night, and I was learning to play the game. And I remember what there would be these guys and girls, some of them were couples, that would come on the postgraduate compound because there was a badminton court there, and they would play at nights because some of them worked, some of them were graduates, etc. And I would play with them, myself and my friend Marcia. We would play with them. Play. I hit the shuttle and they played. All right, so you get the point. But one day, I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't play anymore. Don't play. I reasoned to myself, I didn't know really then the depth of God's voice. You know, a thought came to me. I believed it was God. I never really took it too serious because in my mind, I'm reasoning it out. You can't really mean that, right? That's like Eve. When Satan tempted, did God really say, you know? He did not really mean that you would die. So I reasoned it out. God did not really mean that. But anyway, I sat and there was a laundromat there. I'd wash clothes and watch them play. And I remember sometimes they would ask me, keep scoring out since you're not playing. Because I would say, no, I'm not playing. I didn't say why. I just didn't say I wasn't playing. And I would keep score a couple nights. And then, you know, I remember one night, somebody said, oh, I'm tired. Mets, take my place. And I went and I played. Just bounced too. You know, as I said, I just hit the shuttle. They played. And that night, for the first time in my adult life, that in that little one room of the postgraduate flat that only had three light bulbs, one for the room, one for a little face basin, and one in a little hall area, I turned on all lights because I was afraid. I just became fearful and I just could not understand. I don't even know if I slept that night. I just couldn't wait until morning. Because at that time, I would go to the chapel gardens and have devotions. Believe you me, I never stayed in the room. I fly out and went to the chapel garden and said, God, where were you last night? What was happening? I could not understand. And again, the Lord spoke. And he said, hallelujah. Because you disobeyed me, I just stepped back. That was it, you know. He just stepped back. He didn't leave me. I got the impression that he didn't forsake me. He didn't throw me away. He didn't discard me. He just stepped back. And I'm thinking, you mean that you are still there? You just stepped back? Then it's so it feel when God just stepped back? I said, no, no, no. I don't want to ever experience that again. You know, but I just sharing that to say that God speaks. And when we reason it out and say, well, maybe I can do it this way. Maybe I can change it up a bit. That no, 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 no. When God speaks, he speaks clearly. Let's not go into a time of reasoning things out. Another testimony, more recently, one that I shared with Evangelist Donna, that this is Sunday, so it's a new week. So maybe Wednesday, Thursday. Can't be. I can't remember which day. Anyway, one of those days. I was spending time with God. Hallelujah. And I was reflecting on a dream that I had. And I remembered, I forgot about it. I wasn't reflecting on the dream. I was just spending time with God. And I remembered I needed to make a phone call to someone. And if I didn't make the phone call in my mind at that time after 7, then I wouldn't get the person again because they would be off to work and it's very difficult to get the person, blah, blah, blah. And I remembered asking God, can I make the phone call? Sounds weird. I've never done that before. Normally, fly gone, I make the phone call and come back. And I heard God says, no, I have something to show you. And I was like, okay. I was really mesmerized. I didn't expect to hear. And what am I hearing? I'm not hearing an audible voice. It's a thought. And sometimes we get very mystical about what it means to hear from God. But because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, He speaks to me. These thoughts come up. And yes, I have to discern. It's not every thought that comes necessarily is of the Holy Spirit. But I was in the presence of God. And I trusted that I was hearing from God. And frankly speaking, I don't think the devil would say, no, God wants to speak to me. He was the one who wanted me to get up out of the presence of God and go and make that phone call and miss what God would have said. What am I saying? Don't reason out when God speaks to us. Don't go back and fall back on reasoning. In Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, Peter gave an account of what happened when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples on that great day when they were in obedience, in one accord, gathered in that upper room. And he said in Acts chapter 2, 14 to 18, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. He was saying, don't get it twisted. Don't pervert this. Don't complicate this. Don't try and philosophize this. Don't hypothesize this. Don't intellectualize this. Don't make any mistake about what you're observing today. They are not drunk. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. Too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Hallelujah. That which occurred then is available to us now. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that has been sent by Jesus Christ, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, He wants to live inside of us. And in response, Peter in Acts 38:39, when the people saw what was happening, he continued further. He says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord your God. Those who sin at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit ended in the New Testament, they don't have the truth. They speak false. It's falsehood. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is available to us now. Because as Peter said, it is for all who are called by the Lord our God. Hallelujah. So when Paul wrote that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, it's really like a summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a summary of the power of God unto our salvation. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For it's not by our own doing but by grace that we are saved, nothing of ourselves. And Jesus, when He returned to the Father, when He rose from the dead, He sent His Holy Spirit to never leave us as believers in this world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God did that. God did that because He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And He gives us this all-inclusive package. Hallelujah. Nowadays, I don't know who still goes to the hotel for an all-inclusive hotel weekend. But God has given us an all-inclusive package. We cannot say we are Christians and do not have daily, step-by-step fellowship, communion, companionship, communication with the Holy Spirit. And we must be careful that we do not fall into the trap of a religious going through the motions, pretense of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what do I mean by that? I remember I didn't realize that I was doing this, but I would be having devotions, and I know none of you have this problem where your mind wanders and you're thinking about, you know, I need to go and wash, you know, I need to put on this on the stove, or I need to go and do this. And as I'm thinking about it, I am doing that, but I'm praying, you know, I'm still having my devotions, I'm still spending time with God, but, you know, putting in the laundry, and I'm talking about devotion time. I'm not talking about when I have chores and I'm praying. I'm talking about the time that I set, the time that God set to have fellowship with me. You know, I'm supposed to be there, and I am doing all these other things. And one morning, I only heard these words in my head. There she goes again. And I realized that was God was talking about me, you know. I was fidgety. You know, there she goes again, you know. I'm up and I'm gone. But it was God's time. It was God's time. And we must be careful that we don't make it a religious time. You know, we don't just make it, oh yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, 1 hour with the Lord and it's done. No, 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 no. Because God further challenged me on another occasion when I was less fidgety. And I'm finished now, yeah. Devotion's finished. And I got up. And it's like the Lord saying, so you have prayed, you have read the word, you have sung worship songs. You. So I don't have anything to say to you. You're gone. I'm telling you, that really struck me. I said, that's true. Oh, whoa, whoa, how can I say I'm having fellowship with the Holy Spirit? How can I say I'm having communion with God? How can I say I'm having communication in my devotions, my devotional time? It looked like it was all about me. I read the word. I sang songs. I prayed. But I didn't give God a chance to speak to me. I didn't give God a chance to minister to me. I didn't give God an opportunity to have fellowship with me. I was rigid. I made it something that was religion, very religious. But God, I didn't make room for God. I didn't make room for God. The Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus Christ to help us. He's our helper. He's here to help us do life. Praise God. He was sent by Jesus Christ, so that the gospel can be spread all across the world. And in doing so, he helps us to spread the gospel all across the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is not here for an elite few. He's here for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to them that Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm not leaving you alone. If you're here and you don't know, or you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have to settle that. You have to settle that first. If you're online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have to settle that first. We're trying to do life all on our own. And that's why some of us are buffeted by Satan. You know, we throw us left and right. I'm not saying that as a Christian we don't face opposition. Oh, no, 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 no. Far from it. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit to help us during those tough times. Hallelujah. During those times of opposition. So what did we look at today? That the Spirit of God was at work in the Old Testament, and he's the same Holy Spirit who's at work in the New Testament. That God, our Creator, wants to have fellowship, communion, conversations with his creation. He wants to have communion or fellowship with us who he has made in his own image. This special relationship, this communion with the Holy Ghost, is obtained by first believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's work has not ended with the disciples of the New Testament. In fact, that was just the beginning. The Holy Spirit has been poured out and is available to all believers of Jesus Christ. And He wants to fill us. He wants to remain in us. He wants to abide in us. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to comfort us. He wants to help us to pray. He wants us to help us. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit, our comforter, has been sent by Jesus Christ to never leave us. May we never ever say, I'm alone. I'm all alone. There, no one cares about me. Those, let's move away from that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Himself is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I would like to pray for three persons. Well, not three individuals, three groups. Three people groups. Those who have lost fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you want to renew that. Those who might never have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, much less the Holy Spirit, and you want to have a relationship with Jesus. And those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, but you recognize that there are barriers. There are things that come up and just spring up and that prevent you from going all out with Jesus. That you're going forward and it's like, boy, something come and it's like you're back again or you have taken some steps back. Hallelujah. So let's just close our eyes. We want the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to come and minister to us. Hallelujah. Even more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just surrender our lives to you, Lord. Lord, you have spoken, Lord, that we need, Lord God, to allow you, oh God, give room, make space in our hearts. You are the one who made us, Lord God, and we have crowded our hearts with everything else but you, Lord. We have filled our hearts, oh God, with things of this world, oh Lord. But you said that the world isn't looking for you. The world cannot recognize you. But Lord, we have filled our heart with things of this world. Oh God, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us, oh God, for giving our heart, oh God, to things, Lord God, that are temporary. This world is going to pass away, oh God. But Lord Jesus, you, oh God, you said that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Friends go and come. Jobs have been lost over this COVID period, Lord. Lord Jesus, bank accounts have been emptied, oh God. Spouses, Lord God, have turned against their other halves, oh God. Oh God, but you, oh God, you remain forever. Hallelujah. So Lord Jesus, Lord, search our hearts and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Yes, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, and save. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. Save, Lord God. Hallelujah. As we confess, Lord Jesus, our sins. We fess up, Lord, like Adam and Eve did. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you said that we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. And Jesus, you in turn said that when we do that, you will send the advocate. Lord, we just thank you for the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit as it was prophesied in Joel 2 that you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Lord, we pray today that you will pour out your spirit upon your children, oh God. Hallelujah. For as many as are called by the Lord your God, our God, pour out your spirit upon your children, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yes, Lord. And Lord, for those, Lord God, Lord, we have surrendered. They have been led by you, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. But Lord, there are times when there are obstacles. And Lord, the obstacles seem more than your grace and your power. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'll open their eyes, Lord. That, Lord, like Elijah's servant, that they will see that there are more with them, which is the Holy Ghost, one. More with them than that is in the world, oh God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we just give you thanks, Lord God. You have sent this word to set some people free today, oh God. Yes, Lord, free from fear. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord God, free, oh God, from religion. Hallelujah. Free from intellectualism, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you have come to set the captives free today. Hallelujah. Free, Lord God, from convention, Lord God. Hallelujah. Free from what is expected, oh God. Lord, when the disciples gathered, they didn't know what to expect, oh God. Lord, help us, Lord God, to only expect you to move in our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless your name. We praise your name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.